Welcome to Awakening Into Life, a podcast series that is devoted to non-duality, self-realization, and the embodiment of awakening. My name is Bradley, and I am a non-dual wisdom teacher and have been since my own profound experiential awakening about 7 years ago now. An awakening that demonstrated something to me about the nature of reality and led me on a course that had me living on the streets for a while as a homeless wandering ascetic, sleeping in front of a bookstore at night and teaching during the day. This same awakening recently saw me graduate with a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. And I now devote my work and my life to being of service to those who are experiencing their own authentic awakening experiences and are struggling in some way, shape, or form with aspects that seem to be quite disorienting at times. And so that's the purpose of this podcast. Thank you for being here today with me. This is essentially an introduction to a brand new podcast series that I'm hosting. And this podcast is going to be a collection of past talks and past materials from the course of the last 7 years that I've been teaching and sharing and guiding others on the pathless path of non-dual wisdom. And it'll also weave in new things, new conversations, new talks, possibly from time to time a guest interview to speak with someone else who shares in this understanding, but perhaps from a different perspective, one that can help further our collective understanding as a whole. Now, as a general introduction, I also thought I'd take a few moments to share the way in which I generally tend to cover this process, to talk about spiritual awakening, or rather what an authentic spiritual awakening really is, using the metaphor of the mountain. Now, I use the metaphor of the mountain quite often, so those of you who may have heard some of my talks before know that I find it very helpful and very useful to break the spiritual journey down into three distinct parts or stages that don't really exist, quote unquote, but definitely represent important distinctions that require shifts and changes and new approaches in the way that we're going about exploring each one of these phases or stages. And if we don't shift things, if we don't sort of bring our attention to what's newly necessary as we exit one stage and enter another, we are likely to find ourselves feeling stuck and lost and having some difficulty. So, first of all, let's talk about what an authentic spiritual awakening really is. All right? There are so many ways that you hear this word, awakening, shared. And in the context of non-dual realization, what we're talking about as an awakening is an awakening of conscious being, sort of waking up from our idea of ourselves and from our idea of the world. We are leaving behind the psychological constructs that shape and define our relationship with what we call reality. So awakening is a seeing through of language, really, quite frankly, the nature of language. Seeing through the nature of language in a way that allows us to move beyond the limits of language, both in how we reflect and relate, and in terms of how we live our lives. Now, the metaphor of the mountain will help clarify some of this a little bit. So let's just sort of go into that. Now, the first part of the metaphor of the mountain has to do with the journey up the mountain. We could also relate this to the process of seeking, of spiritual seeking activities. And there are other places in my work where I do talk about it from this perspective. Now, what this means is that we have come to see or recognize through our own direct experience that there must be something more to this thing called life. And we're really no longer satisfied to accept other people's versions of the truth. And so we bring a quality of sincerity and earnestness into the process of discovering the truth for ourselves. So we begin this journey up the mountain. And as we travel up the mountain, there are a lot of different sort of sub-stages or micro-stages that we might encounter. But most of what going up the mountain entails is inquiring into where our conditioned perceptual models come from, seeing clearly for ourselves their impact, and beginning to recognize how they are serving us. Now, even if we feel like something's problematic in our patterns of thought or behavior, that doesn't mean it isn't serving us. So the question is, how are those problematic patterns of thought and behavior serving us? And as we continue to go up the mountain, there's a lot of letting go, a lot of allowing, a lot of acceptance, a lot of surrender, as we begin to find that underneath all of these various layers of what we would call the self, they are constructed out of our conditioned perceptions, our unquestioned use of language, and our past experiences, you know, the way that we've been told the world is and who it is that we have been told that we are supposed to be. It also includes recognizing all of the ways within which we have been hurt, harmed, injured, all the things that other people have done to us over the course of our lives that have contributed to whatever it is that we might be carrying on our shoulders, whether it's a deep sense of unworthiness or difficulty loving ourselves or a kind of anxiety or depression that haunts us or trauma that needs healing. Whatever it looks like for you, it can be a wide variety of things, really quite infinite if we think about it. So this journey up the mountain, it's the process of looking closely at what's really going on in your experience, asking some very hard questions, and beginning to open yourself up to a new way of seeing. Which then leads to an experiential view from the top of the mountain. Now, this is really hard to describe for someone who hasn't seen it for themselves. And the reason for that is because, again, this is really a process of seeing through the lens of language, piercing the lens of language, and realizing that language, it is that which not only shapes and informs, but actually controls our relationship with this thing called reality. And it does it in very subtle ways that we don't even begin to get really in touch with until much further on down the road. But like, there are some really big revelations that come up as we start looking and start engaging in this process as we're coming up the mountain. And the view from the top is one where there is an experiential realization or revelation that we are not who we think we are. That really and truly the self that we experience ourselves to be is actually constructed out of thought and has no reality to it whatsoever. You, as you think of yourself, do not exist in the way that you think you do. And you never have. The world and the way that you think the world exists, it does not exist that way. And it never has. The idea that you have of a separate you and the idea that you have of an outside world, those have never been true either. So seeing from the top of the mountain is a recognition that really the only thing that one can say is true is that we are aware. Fundamentally, you are aware. That's it. And that what you are is this fundamental awareness. That's it. That's really all that can be said. And even that's too much. The idea of awareness becomes its own sort of impediment upon the path when we're talking about it, when we haven't seen it. And so seeing is what's most important. And once we've seen it for ourselves, seen what this really actually means for ourselves, it essentially means complete and total devastation. It is a fundamental breakdown and a complete shattering of our illusory world. It's also the beginning step into true freedom and an embracing of the mystery of our being. I always tell people that I am a mystery unto myself. And that is all that we can ever really say. That's about as close as we can get to it. There are some people who will say, I am, and that's wonderful. But even that, for me, it does not encapsulate. Because those, whenever we hear things that are common in spiritual circles, what we're hearing is something that might be not understood, but parroted. Not understood, but said, because there's a sense that I'm supposed to say this if I have this kind of insight or this kind of understanding. And this is one of those things that has to be understood when we're sort of seeing from the top of the mountain. The very fact that I'm saying that this is the top of the mountain suggests that there's a journey back down the mountain, and some of these things are going to be things we're going to talk about when we start talking about that journey down the mountain. But here at the top of the mountain, this quality of seeing through, it's transformational in and of itself. Transformational because you are no longer the I that you thought you were. And even if there's confusion around what you truly are, and there are, let's say, various answers still sort of arising, and there's sort of a play of mind that's still trying to solve the equation, Or there's the adoption of a spiritual paradigm where things like I am become parroted. That's all fine. That's completely okay. That's all natural, and it happens at this in this place. What'll often happen is there's this recognition that there is no self, right? So there will be an adoption of an identity, a new identity, which is the no me. There's a new identity, the no me identity, which is just as absurd as the me identity. But because we're not fully acknowledging the sort of embodied and integrated perspective on these things, this is natural, it's normal, and it happens quite often. And it's okay. Just don't get stuck in it or stay in it for too long. That's really the only warning that comes with adopting the no-me position. Anyway, like I said, it's very difficult to describe this unless you've seen it for yourself, and most of this will not make sense to someone who's still working their way up the hill, up the mountain. But it's important that we recognize that when we're at the top of the mountain, a new series of teachings might be necessary. A different kind of guidance might be appropriate. The things that we used in order to get up the mountain might not really apply anymore and can actually serve as a hindrance. Now, the last stage of the journey, as it were, is coming back down the mountain again. And this process of coming down the mountain is sort of stepping into our full human experience. So at the top of the mountain, it's almost like we're abandoning the human experience because we've seen through it, because there's no longer that sort of conceptual identity that we've adopted as a separate self apart from the whole. Right? That separate self apart from the whole is seen as empty of a separate self. It's empty of distinction. It's actually created out of language. It doesn't have any real inherent reality to itself. So as we're coming back down the mountain, what you begin to notice is that it doesn't matter. Again, very difficult to describe if you haven't seen this for yourself. You know, maybe you've come up the mountain, right? And maybe you've seen the view from the top. But maybe you're just sort of hanging out there, and this idea that there's even this thing called coming down the mountain might seem alien or foreign or completely wrong because of what you're seeing from the top of the mountain. So when we're coming back down the mountain, again, new tools might be necessary. New ways of investigating and exploring our experience might be helpful or prudent. Yeah, I like to describe it this way. Let's suggest for a moment that the self that you had occupied for your life is seen through and is recognized to be unreal, let's say. Let's just say that. Then you also don't need to adopt a spiritual identity or an enlightened identity to protect and elevate as a spiritual or enlightened identity. You can actually let that go too and allow yourself to embody your actual experience of life and living. So coming back down the mountain is sort of saying, yes, okay, I get it. I have seen all of this, but that doesn't seem to be the end of the road. It seems to me, in my experience of myself, that when I hold on to this enlightened me, there is still a quality of duality present. There's still suffering. There's still all of this stuff that's emerging in this experience of me. And this thing called enlightenment, it hasn't actually peeled me out of what I thought it was going to peel me out of. It hasn't done what I thought it was going to do. Coming back down the mountain is letting go of enlightenment entirely. And it's sort of like you're not really enlightened until you've let go of enlightenment. And what does that mean? It means you're no longer protecting or defending any identity, not even the identity of one who's enlightened. It doesn't matter anymore. This is what I tell people. You're enlightened. So what? It doesn't matter. Life goes on. Things happen. You're still going to have to be present with the full range of the human experience. That's the way it is. You still have to feed the body. You still have to use the bathroom. You're still going to drive in traffic. You're still going to get into arguments with people and disagreements with people. You're still going to have good days and bad days. As they say in Zen, before enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water. After enlightenment, you chop wood and you carry water. So coming down the mountain is coming back into life. And that's really where the whole sort of model of awakening into life comes from. We're learning how to be in our lives. How to embody life. How to embody the awakening. How to embody self-realization. How to integrate the recognition, how to integrate the insight into our day-to-day life. That's what awakening into life is all about. Because if we're busy hanging out on the top of the mountain, whatever that looks like for you, there's a quality of stuckness in it. Because unless you are fully engaged in making contact with life here, now, in this moment, then quite frankly, there's still some quality of fear or distance or disconnect, something that's being denied, something that's not being honored. Something that we're still attached to or clinging to. Something that we're trying to avoid or get away from. And we're using hanging out on the top of the mountain to address that. Coming back down the mountain is when we truly enter into the fearless way of being. Complete and total trust in the movement of things. In the wordless harmony of motion, right? That taking the quality of silence and the quality of stillness and honoring that within that silence, there is this harmony. Within this stillness, there is this movement. To not take your whole life and put it over here or over there, but rather to find balance. Learning how to walk with one foot in each world. The world of the absolute perspective, the absolute understanding and insight that pervades all things. And one foot in the relative experience of your day-to-day life. Without there being a real distinction, without there being conflict, without there being confusion. It's not about pitting one against the other. A matter of fact, I like to often say that the relative is the absolute in full expression of itself. And until you're willing, able, and can see that clearly for yourself, this process, we could call it incomplete. We have to be willing to experience everything that's emerging in our experience. We can't push these aspects of ourself away and call them, you know, ego, for instance. Yeah. We have to honor the movements of conscious being that leverage and use this thing that we call ego as a part of the fulfillment of itself. not as something to be pushed away, but something to be loved into surrender, and then becomes a tool or an instrument of this that we are, forever fulfilling itself as the whole, which has always been true, but perhaps we have not yet come to terms with how deep that truth really runs. Coming back down the mountain helps us to create the space necessary, the room necessary, for all of that to come forward. We can't really do it unless we've sort of seen the view from the top, though. You know, many times I'm always sort of a little apprehensive in my delivery of teachings when I start to talk about things that revolve around coming down the mountain, because so many people in spiritual communities, they just really want to embrace this, but they still haven't seen the view from the top. So they want to leap across the chasm that allows them to continue to protect the separate self. And this stuff does not work in the way that we think it might if we haven't seen clearly for ourselves yet what the true nature of the self is. If we haven't come into contact with the nature of mind, if we haven't seen mind as mind, if we don't recognize the mechanics of mind or how it is that the mind creates the world, then the things that we would talk about in this area coming down the mountain, they can actually be counterproductive. Okay? So if you haven't seen the view from the top of the mountain, that means that really all of your emphasis should be on going up the mountain so that you can see the view from the top. Once you've seen the view from the top and you've been able to sort of work through it a bit and you're ready to start coming back down, then this conversation about embodiment, about integration, starts to become a conversation that you can have in earnestness. It's a sincere conversation because you've seen what's at the top. And you've also seen that that really isn't, it doesn't offer the fulfillment that you thought it was going to offer. The promise of enlightenment does not live at the top of the mountain, no matter how we might perceive it for a period of time. So that's sort of the introduction here, right? Is awakening, an authentic spiritual awakening, is consciousness waking up to itself. It's waking up from the dream of I as a separate, independent entity that is apart from the whole. That independent entity that believes itself to be apart from the whole is actually nothing more than a figment of our own imagination. It's created out of words, concepts, ideas, notions, views, and beliefs. Things that have gone unquestioned because of our conditioning, the conditioning that we're brought up in, our social and cultural conditioned factors. That's where it all comes from. If we don't question it, then we will spend our entire lives living within that quality of the conditioned mind. But many people feel a pressing need to sort of look for that part of this equation that seems to have been left out. And that's what brings about the quality of sincerity that's necessary for this process of inner investigation to really begin. We go up the mountain, we see the view from the top. Maybe we hang out there for a while. Then we come back down the mountain and into our lives. That's the journey. Everything that you're going to find on my website, everything you're going to hear in these podcasts, everything that you will see in any video I've done, wherever it is that you see me talking about any of this, it's all going to be relative to one of these three stages. And you might hear conflicting messages. You might hear one set of teachings that doesn't make sense when you look at them through the eyes of another set of teachings. This is why. Because one set of teachings might be applicable to somebody coming up the mountain, I might say something very different to somebody who's at the top of the mountain, and I might say something radically different even more to the person who's coming back down the mountain. It all depends on who I'm speaking directly with and the message they need to hear so that they can shift into whatever new aspect of the journey is waiting to unfold before them. That's what everything I do is about. That's what everything I offer is for. So I just want to welcome you to this podcast series. It's going to be a lot of fun. As I said, I'm pulling together 7 years worth of material, and this is an ongoing process with new things being added on a regular basis. I hope that you found this at least intriguing. Hopefully it serves as an invitation to keep listening, to see what's next. And what you'll find is the very next series of talks, they have to do with the very first public talk that I ever gave on the promise, process, and pitfalls of obtaining spiritual enlightenment. I'm going to, in that talk, it was done 5 years ago or 6 years ago from this point that I'm at right now, but it really encapsulates a lot of this journey. I would say some things differently today, but it really represents an important starting point. And then the next series of talks you're going to hear came from, I think, 2017, and it has to do with my own journey of awakening, where you can see all these sort of dimensions of the awakening process and experience at work in my description of how I went through things. And then we're going to continue to build on that with a series of talks that I did just a couple of years ago on things like loving yourself and trusting yourself and honoring your own journey, mindfulness and meditation, facing and letting go of your pain, paying attention to synchronicity, and being wary of your traps. Somewhere in there will also be a discussion, a talk about the nature of human suffering. Where does it come from? There's also a talk about how we tilt in the direction of awakening so that perhaps this journey into awakening becomes something that we can really begin to understand more directly, more experientially, to start working it out for ourselves, because nobody can do this for you. Nobody can give this to you. Anybody who promises enlightenment is lying to you. Anybody who suggests, even for a moment, that they have something that they can give you, it's really not true. All that any of us can do, any one of us who works as a teacher of non-dual wisdom, right? All we can do is point in the direction of what our experience has shown us. We can see very clearly how this journey unfolds, at least its various thematic qualities. They're easily recognizable once you've seen clearly for yourself. And so what we do is we try to help guide other people through this process based on that understanding, that clear insight. But we don't try to force the journey on anyone, and we don't try to complete the journey for anyone, because those are impossible. All we can do is invite others into the exploration of it for themselves. All I can do is extend this invitation to you and say, there is something here to discover. Something wordless, ineffable, limitless, something beyond the mind's ability to comprehend. And the only way that you will ever see it for yourself is by doing the work that gets you to this place for yourself. So, there you go. That's my introduction. My name is Bradley. And you can learn more about me and the work that I do with people on my website at awakeningintolife.com. I hope you enjoy this podcast series and find it an interesting invitation. Take care, everyone, and goodbye.